I'm Pastor Myron Dom. At Northmark Church, we believe the Bible is God's holy word, given to us from God for our benefit. God's word gives us wisdom, direction, comfort, and conviction. As we expound His word verse by verse each week, we hope to encourage and give you insight as you walk one step behind Jesus. Thanks for listening.
Praise the Lord. Would you take your copy of God's Word and open it with me to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. James is found at the back of the New Testament. It's a very small book, one you can read in a few minutes. James chapter 4, verse 8. It says plainly, "Come near to God," say it with me, "and He will come near to you." Come near to God, again, He will come near to you. It's a command coupled with a promise. If we draw near to God, He will draw near to us. You see, our Lord desires to have a great relationship with us. He's not interested in just being acquaintances. He wants to be close and deeply connected. He wants us to see Him at work in and through our surrendered lives to Him. He also wants us to become more like Him. Is there anyone more generous than our God? No. His love knows no boundaries. His grace has no borders. He is amazing. His provision, it's limitless. So if we draw close to Him and He draws close to us, then we should be able to become more like Him, should we not? You become like those you hang around with. So if we're hanging around Him and He's hanging around us, we're going to pick up some of His traits. We're going to become more like Him. We're going to become more generous like Him. Is there something you can do to draw closer to Him in a practical and financial way? Something you could do to become even more generous than you already are? I believe there is. Last week we talked about the power of simplification. Today I want us to explore this big idea. To become even more generous, trust Him for more. Say it with me, to become even more generous, trust Him for more. Since our Lord owns everything and is in complete control, then He is able to bring more our way if He chooses. He has that ability. What if He allowed more resources to come your way? How would you respond? Is it possible He might increase our income, not just to increase our standard of living, but rather to increase our standard of giving? Let that thought simmer in your mind. This last week, our country was abuzz with the Powerball lottery. Over $1.5 billion. That's an amazing amount of money. I'm not advocating buying tickets because I think the lottery plays on a human weakness called greed. And greed is never good. Greed is always bad. So I advocate to you, don't waste your money on the lottery. That's God's money. Don't play into a greedy thing. However, it is interesting, is it not, to think about what you would do if a boatload of cash was dumped on your driveway. On the talk radio, local station, they were interviewing people who were buying tickets. They asked them, "What would you do if you got a winning ticket?" Some of the answers were hilarious. Many of them responded in a way that made me think you'd be broke in less than 5 years. even if you hit the whole thing. One fella in particular caught my attention. He said, "I'd make myself comfortable, and then I would get busy funding my favorite charities the rest of my days." What would you do if you had a sudden increase in income? Have you ever considered that extra, whether you earn it through hard work, diligence over time, smart investment decisions, or another's generosity, any extra is filtered through God's fingers before it enters your fingers? If God gives you more, what might He want you to do with it? Have you asked Him? Remember, He wants to be deeply connected with you. He wants to build in you a generous heart, and He knows how valuable your resources are. We need them every day to live. It makes sense that if He wants to be connected with us, He wants to be connected with our money. To see Him at work in a really practical way, I want to encourage you to take this big idea and implement it. To become more generous, I must trust Him for more. I want to encourage you to seek Him for more resources. Hear me clearly. I'm asking you, ask Him for more money. Not so you can spend it on yourself, but so that you can become more generous like Him. Scripture teaches percentage giving. The Old Testament standard is a tithe, 10%. And as we prosper, the New Testament standard is you increase the percentage. You become even more generous and free in your giving. So if you're already doing this, giving a tithe and beyond, can any more be done? Isn't that a beautiful sound, by the way? We prayed for sanctity of life earlier this morning and praising God for new life. Did you hear that little one crying out? Glory to God. Praise His name. Can any more be done? If you're already giving a tithe and beyond, can any more be done? Yes, it can. But it would require the Lord to send more your way. So trust Him for more. I'm advocating to you today that you go above and beyond His ordained channels. God has ordained through His word that man and woman should work and should invest and save for the future. He tells us clearly in his word, you should be working, and you should also be saving and investing it wisely, preparing for the future to care for those whom you love and are responsible for. But above and beyond these normal biblical channels, could God not give us extra? Do you believe He's able to? He owns it all. What if we asked Him for more and He gave us extra above our work and above our investment that we would then steward it for His purposes? I want to encourage you to ask Him for more. And to determine in advance what you would do if He actually responded. What would you do with the more, the extra? Would you be able to invest it for His kingdom work? You see, I believe our Lord is looking at people. All of us have income streaming into our life. The natural thing is to build a dam right behind your backside and become a little reservoir. So whatever comes in, it stays here, and I just get chubbier. See how that works? God's desire is this. As it streams into your life and you naturally reservoir to take care of your needs, you then pop a hole in that dam and allow much of it or some of it, amount of it, let Him show you how much that it flows through you and it becomes a river. Does this make sense? God looks at us and says, well, that's a reservoir, that's a reservoir, that's... Oh, look at this one. He built a river. Let's pour more down that channel. Because I know that that one can be trusted to release a portion of it to accomplish my greater purpose. So if you're saying, Lord, give me more, it's not so I can have a bigger reservoir. It's so I can have a bigger hole in my dam and allow more to flow through to accomplish what you desire. I believe our Lord is looking at us in one way with that kind of perspective. Is this boy, is this girl, is this adult, is this senior reservoiring it up or making a river? What are you? I invite you to become a river. Let's say that you take this challenge today and you say, Lord, I'm going to trust you for more. And I'm going to decide in advance what I would do with it if you gave it to me. I'm going to commit it to you. You get to make that decision. It's between him and you. It's personal. Let's say you did this and he actually answers your prayer and he gives you more. What would you do with it? How do you release it into that river, if you will? I want to encourage you to consider missions. Missions. If you've been at Northmar for any length of time, you've seen us get excited about missions. This idea of reaching out to people nearby and far away with the love and the truth of Jesus, showing and telling them about what he has done. He came to lead a perfect life. He offered it up as a sacrifice. He died in your place, covered your sin. Trust him. He'll give you a new life. You can have peace and joy. Follow him forever. That's the good news. And we love to share it with people near and far. Why are we so excited about missions here at Northmar? I'll tell you why. Because I believe Jesus Christ is excited about missions. How can I make such an assertion? Well, God's word clearly shows us. In Matthew's gospel, chapter 24, our Lord is having a personal discussion with his followers. They ask him in verse 3, Lord, what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus gives them a lengthy response. His longest single response to a question in all of the gospel accounts. And in verse 14 of his response, Matthew 24, he says clearly, and this gospel of the kingdom, this idea that he's the king, he's come to set you free, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. When the gospel of Jesus is heard by every person on this planet who speaks whatever language they speak, when the gospel is given to every tribe, every tongue, every people group, every nation, each block of people is given the opportunity to hear and understand about Jesus Christ in their own language. When that occurs, Jesus says, when that job is done, I'm returning and I will make all things right. What a good day it will be when our Lord Jesus comes back to set up his earthly kingdom and make everything right. Bless his name. He wants us to join him in this work of getting it accomplished, of getting the word out to all these various groups of people and their different backgrounds and different languages, different people groups, that they would all hear about him. He commissioned us to do this. In the final words of Matthew's gospel, we read this. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority, look at that. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Surely, I am with you to the very end of the age. Jesus told his followers, and that includes you and me today, exactly what we are to be about. Exactly how we are to spend our lives. Showing and telling others about Jesus, near and far. We are to be about this. When they hear him and say, I want to believe, we should baptize them. And we should instruct them from his word on how to follow him, that they might join the work of telling others too. When this is done, he will come back and set up his earthly kingdom and make everything right. My goodness, friends, think about how good that will be. We're in the middle of political season here in this nation. We've got lots of men and women telling us how they would make things right in our country. God have mercy on America. This world needs more than a good president. This world needs the King of Kings, who knows exactly what's going on and has the authority to make things right. Bless his name. So it's crystal clear from Jesus' own words in the scriptures what we are to be about as his followers. So what are we doing in response to this great commission from Jesus? I want to show you today at Northmar how we're taking a multi-pronged approach to accomplishing this great commission, an approach that makes several easy access points for you. If God were to give you extra to release it into his kingdom work, let me show you how. First, we are praying regularly. You'll hear us praying corporately in worship nearly every week for our mission efforts, our missionaries, and their work. We also have small groups that gather regularly to pray for our missionaries. Back in the lobby, you can find pictures of these dear people, and you can take the picture and contact them, and they'll email you requests on the e-prayer that's sent out weekly. You can sign up for it at the Welcome Center. We bring up requests each week for a specific missionary. We are intentionally talking to God about his missionary effort through our people, knowing that that makes a difference. Secondly, we are preparing missionaries to go to the nations. We have an internship process here at the church where approved candidates with the Christian and Missionary Alliance come and stay with us for a season, developing spiritually and creating a base of prayer support as they go overseas. The third thing we do to support our missionaries in their work is we join them on short-term trips. Each year, we prayerfully decide, where are we going to send people this year, Lord? Where would you have us go? And this year, he's calling us to go to the countries of Germany and Thailand, Dominican Republic, and Japan. Perhaps he's going to call you to be on one of those trips. Fourthly, we give money to support our missionaries and their work. When you give to missions at Northmar Church, you are supporting these missionaries that we're deeply connected with, as well as some 700 others in 60 different countries who are part of our alliance family. Our missionaries don't go out and raise their support individually. Instead, as an alliance church, we pool our resources with other alliance churches to provide for our workers so they can stay focused on the work and not get distracted with the demands of fundraising. In 2015, in this last calendar year, Northmar Church alone gave over $326,000 to support the missionaries I've listed to you today. Additionally, we gave an additional $153,000 to support them in their work. That's over $479,000 this last year released to missions. Glory to God. Glory to God. I want you to look around. Would you to swivel your head and look around? This group of people here allowed God to bless them and received it and then popped a hole in their dam and let it flow through to the tune of over $500,000. Is that incredible? When I look at that, I look at you and I look at me and I think, how did that happen? I mean, where did it come from? We don't have that kind of money amongst us. Where did it come from? It was the Lord who provided in such a generous way, and wise, godly men and women and kids like you said, I'm not just going to be a reservoir. I'm going to pop a hole in that dam and let some of it flow through for God's purposes. Do you think our Lord might be interested in doing some more? I think he might be. In fact, our Lord can do more through us if we trust him. Remember I said, I believe he's looking across the earth at those that call him by name and know him personally and looking, are you a reservoir or have you popped a hole in your dam and allowed the river to flow? Which one are you, friend? Okay, here's a reservoir. Okay, look at those rivers at Northmar Church. Let's send some more their way. I can see him identifying people in this place who call him Lord and Master, who've popped holes in their dams and are asking for more and allowing it to flow through. I can see him going, let's send more there. Let's do more through them. They've already proven that they're trustworthy in their stewardship. And I want to commend you and I want to thank you on behalf of Jesus for your great stewardship. If many of you had not been good stewards, there's no way nearly $500,000 could be invested this last year alone in completing the Great Commission. Something only Jesus could do, and he did it through you. May he want to do more? I think so. In your bulletin, you'll find this insert. It's a practical tool. Would you grab a hold of it? I want you to see it. But I don't want you to start reading it because you won't pay attention. So you can read it later, okay? I want to make sure you saw it and you stick it in your Bible or your purse or fold it up. I don't want you to forget it. Don't throw away the bulletin. Stick it in your pocket. I want you to read this week because I want you to consider how the Lord might be inviting you to trust him for more. Little kids can do this. People on fixed incomes can do this because it's not about you. It's about him. Lord, I'll be a reservoir with a hole in the dam. You send more my way, I'll let it flow through. It's up to him to decide if this works. You understand? All you're doing is preparing in advance and saying, Lord, I'm ready. You bring more my way, I'll release it for your purposes. Remember, Jesus said in Luke 16:10, very clearly, he said this, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. You might think you have little to work with. Can I tell you, friend, if you're honoring God with good stewardship choices regarding your monies, if you're giving a tithe and beyond as he directs you, if you're giving cheerfully and releasing it with joy, and praying for where it goes, and giving it intentionally. If you're doing these things with the very little that you have, Jesus says, if you can be trusted with that little bit, well, then we can trust you with some more. So ask him for more, and then steward it as he directs you. Some will think, well, Myron, I'm already doing all I can. Thank you for your stewardship. We're not talking about what more you could do. We're talking about what more he could do. We're talking about extra, above and beyond your employment and your investment, above and beyond what you're responsible to steward. Ask him for extra. This is why kids and seniors and all of us in between can take this step of faith. It is a step of faith. I've taken this step now for several years, this missions faith step. And this last year I determined, Lord, as I prayed, I thought, Lord, this is the percentage of any extra I'm going to release through my reservoir into your river if you give it to me. And I had prayerfully determined that percentage. And then I waited. As the year went by, some people were taking missions trips, and I got fundraising letters in the mail. Hey, Myron, would you like to be part of our support team? And I thought, I would love to support these individuals, but I need some extra. because I'm already tapped out with what I'm doing. So I said, Lord, we already talked about this. I told you if you gave me extra, I'd release it. Can I tell you, within weeks of getting that fundraising letter, I got another letter from a credit card company that said, hey, Mr. Don, about 12 years ago, we made a mistake. And so now we're refunding you this amount of money because we unduly charged you something. And I'm like, well, bless the Lord Almighty, the credit card company's sending me money. Praise God. Do you realize that when that came, it coordinated with this need that I wanted to be a part of? So I'm saying, Lord, I already took the missions faith step. I'm trusting you for more. Here's a short-term missions trip. I want to be part of it. I need the extra. Boom, here it came. That's amazing. It encouraged my faith. And it made me say, this is why I'm going to keep trusting him for more. Can I tell you, in 2015, I received more above and beyond my normal channels of income than I ever have before, and was able to give more to missions efforts than I ever have before. And I had nothing to do with it. All I did was decide in advance and pray and wait. And the Lord did it. This last week commemorated 2 years of my precious mother-in-law being in heaven. She was and still is a faithful woman who trusted the Lord powerfully to do what only He could do. She and her husband, who's sitting down front here next to my wife, she and her husband served the Lord as missionaries. They never had a whole lot of money. It just wasn't there. But he was a wise steward and carefully directed what God allowed him to have and honored him with it, and is still doing well that way today. Bless the Lord. Only God can take care of a person who trusts him like that. But my mother-in-law had an unusual amount of faith. And so when my older son was going to go to college, she said, I'm going to trust God to give me $1,000 to support you going to college, and I'm going to have it before you leave. It was about 9 months out. When I heard her say this, I thought, there is no way. She has no income. She has no job. They lived on a fixed budget. I know who controls the strings, and it's this guy right down front here, and he kept them tight. She has no ability to even get her fingers on any money. How is this going to happen? So I told my son that, you know, I'm not sure Grandma's going to be able to come through for you. Oh, he told his mother. She told her mother. Guess who was on the hot seat, man? She pulled me aside, and she's all arthritic, and she says, come here, you. She says, you watch God. I was humbled that day, so I watched. Next Sunday, I'm having lunch at her house. She's all crippled up, and she says, look at this. She shows me $25 cash. I said, where'd you get that? She goes, it was sent in the mail to me as a gift from an old friend, and guess where it's going? It's going in this envelope for your son. You watch what God does. Week after month rolled by, and I would see that envelope get fatter. And I'm like, how is this happening? She would say, God took care of me. She said, today I was at church. I was coming out of the church, and someone reached over and stuck $15 in my hand. And it went right in the envelope. And I'm thinking, who would stick $15 in the hand of a woman walking out of church? And why 15? It just, it didn't make sense. But she scrolled it away, and over time, on the eighth month, he was leaving the next month, she announced one day, here's the $1,000. Handed him the envelope. That's the Lord. That was the Lord. If an 80-plus-year-old woman who was so arthritic she could not write a check in her own handwriting anymore, who has no income, no ability to earn anything, is not well known and leads a quiet life and just prays, if she can trust the Lord for $1,000 extra that came from who knows where, God gave it, what could you healthy, strong, bright, capable person, what could you trust him to do for you? I want to encourage you, whether you're young or old, Don't think, oh, that's for some wealthy person to take such a challenge. God delights in using the people who can't get it themselves, who can't earn it, who can't invest it. He delights in giving them extra that they can say, there's only one place it came from. When she handed my son that envelope, it was very clear that's the result of God's generosity. I want to invite you this week, read through this. This is a personal decision. Kids, don't depend upon your parents to do this. You do it. If you're old enough to comprehend what I'm talking about today, you take one of these cards and you do it yourself. Wife, don't depend upon your husband. He might be stingy. Husband, don't depend upon your wife. She might be blowing it. I don't know. I'm telling you, you take this personally. This is a personal decision because faith is a personal matter. You don't depend upon your partner's faith or your mom and dad's faith. It's you and Jesus. So I want to encourage you, as a follower of Jesus, take this challenge. If you've not yet followed him, I'll tell you what, put him to the test. Tell him, if you do something with this, then I'll believe you. Test him. Test him. Oh, he'll take that deal every day of the week because he wants to be actively involved in each of our lives. I encourage you, take this, pray about it. Don't bring it back to the church. There's no tear-offs. We don't want to know about it. This is between you and the Lord. But when he does provide, as you've trusted him, we'd love for you to tell your story. We'd love to give him glory. Just as you heard about that $1,000 or that little mission trip in the credit card company. These stories encourage our faith that God's at work and God can do it. I invite you to bow your head with me. I'm going to pray in a moment. Remember this, the missions faith step, like all giving, is really not about the money. The Lord already owns it all. He doesn't need our money. He wants our hearts. He wants to build a generous heart in us. He wants us to draw close to him and become more like him. Will you let him? Decide now. Will you let him? Will you let him build a generous heart inside your life? Jesus, you know our hearts and minds. You know how we love our money, how we worry about it. You know how we invest it wisely and how we waste it foolishly. You know everything. And I pray in your mercy that you would reach into the lives of everybody who's only a reservoir, and you'd bring conviction today. He didn't give it just to me to keep for me. He gave it so I could be part of his work. And for all those, and there are many, all those who are already being part of that work, I pray you would challenge their faith today to widen the hole in the dam and to trust you for more. To believe that you're able, like my mother-in-law, you're able to bring money we could never get for ourselves. That we release for your purposes downstream. Oh Lord, grab a hold of our hearts. Each of us need a fresh touch with you. Each of us need to see you actively at work. These stories shouldn't just be in the preacher's life. We all want those stories. So I pray, Lord God, that you would hear our hearts. And Spirit of God, you would challenge our minds. We would say yes to you. Don't let us lose these cards, Lord. Don't let us blow it off. Don't let us think, oh, that's for that spiritual person. Help us to realize, Lord, you want to draw close to all of us. You just tell us, draw close to me first. You take that step, I'll meet you there. I pray, Lord, you give us the courage and the boldness to take that step closer to you.
I'm Pastor Myron Daum. At Northmark Church, we believe the Bible is God's holy word, given to us from God for our benefit. God's word gives us wisdom, direction, comfort, and conviction. As we expound his word verse by verse each week, we hope to encourage and give you insight as you walk one step behind Jesus. Thanks for listening.